Today is my third lecture, so I want to write on some application, start with some application. I support the talk yesterday, so we'll talk about diophantine, applying diophantine equations. Then I will move a little bit to different cycles, which is, will not be a rational point anymore. It's a Gross-Schoen cycle. Then we'll talk about, maybe the next one, before Gross-Schoen cycle, I will talk about something general, is the Bellingson block conjecture. Then Gross-Schoen cycle. Then we'll talk about the Gross-Kudela conjecture. And finally, we'll talk application again. A little bit of application to your elliptic curves. Unlike the diophantine approximation method, dealing diophantine equation, you're trying to show the equation does not have a solution. The error function method, trying to show the equation has a solution. It has the opposite way. So you give an explicit method to show the solution. So the application, this means that the application to the high genus will be different, right? Because high genus support has no solution. So we'll talk about the genus zero case. I mean, that's something I said yesterday about the pair equation. Because you have this class number formula, which relate the regulator and this kind of equation, or maybe you can view this equation as, can view this one as a unit. So view this one as a unit. So somehow such a solution will form a group, and this group has a rank 1. So it's clear about the fundamental unit. I write the eta d. So the class number formula will give you a method to calculate this eta d. Of course, once in the class number, the formula read as the following way. Eta d will be, if you want, there's one way you make it bigger than 1 or less than 1 of them. Eta d, or maybe a plus or minus, something like this. So what you're going to get is a product r from 1 to d minus 1 of the sine pi r divided by d times, this comes from class number formula, minus d of r of h of d. Right. So this is the formula. So this is the d of r, this is the Lorentz symbol. Around. It's defined by a multiplicative thing. So this is this comes from class number formula. So roughly speaking, you have this L prime, L zero of chi of D, where this is the chi of D of R. Then you have two formula. One is analytical formula. Analytical formula is purely right under the Dirichlet error series as additive quadratic series using the finite Fourier transform. Another one is the one formula I just wrote yesterday, is H times regulator divided by W. The regulator in our situation is just log eta of D
the W equals 2.
So here you can write as this is a log of something. This is just explicit formula. So this is in a genus 0 case. The genus equals 1 case, okay, I spend a lot of time and you get the Hinkinger point in rank 1 case. So what happens if a genus is bigger than 1? Genus bigger than 1, one way to use this formula, for example, if you have a curve C is whose genus is bigger than 1, if you can have a map to abelian variety, right? If this abelian variety has a rank 0, of course, then you'll be very happy. Suppose you have a finite to 1 map. Finite map from a curve to abelian variety, which has a rank 0, then of course this implies that your curve does not have many rational points. So the question is, in which family of curve, you know that there whose Jacobian or the abelian variety has a rank 0, but this one you can apply this Gross-Zagier, this technique or extension. And plus the work of the computation of L function of 1 at A. And this second part, I will say that usually for one curve is very difficult to understand, but if you put it in the twister family, you always can get something. So use the result of this multi Baum Freiburg and Hofstede. So this kind of that we will get some. So we will get some probabilistic result. What I can say that we will give a family of curves. We don't know which curve, which one is. We will say that many of these curves have no solution at all. Okay, so I will settle two kind of results. So most of them, since I needed to take study twist, I will start a hyperelliptic curve and a super elliptic curve. Well, this day, you know, after physics, the super is very fancy stuff, you know. Hyper is not good enough. I will give you a couple of very simple examples. And the theorem itself. Well, before I say everything, there's a work beside all the well-known work on something either belong to Gross-Zagier, Kolyvagin, and this is the classical Dedekind Dirichlet type results. All the new thing I just state is basically with joint work with my student, former student Ye Tian, and student Xing Yi, who finished last year, and there's a new student Wei Chen, who will finish this year. So the hyperelliptic curve, and what I can say is the y square equals the f of x, this kind of curve, the genus, or suppose the degree of f is 2g plus 1, usually I move one point to the infinity. You also come up with a superelliptic curve, that's the notation I learned from a paper of Johan de Jong. So you assume that the degree of f and n is a prime to each other. So this type of curves. So we usually will require this Jacobian of C is a modular of PGL2 type. So in other words, it's very similar. So this one will have an anamorphism by a bigger ring error. When you tensor, when you by an order in algebra, a totally real I don't think amatorial real is a big deal. Total real field of degree of G. So in many ways, from the Galois point of view, this Jacobian variety is very similar to an elliptic curve. So the technique so that in this case, the Kurosawa formula can apply. I will not give you a formal definition of this thing. So I write two theorems in a very concrete way. One is the following. So the theorem will say that let me try to see how can I say about this stuff. So let's see y square f of x be a hyperelliptic curve. Defined of a totally real field I assume that there is a morphism C to an abelian variety homomorphism to an abelian variety maybe the modular abelian variety of GL type PGL2 type A, which is not important. Okay, and then what happened is that then we consider twist. There are infinitely many D, let me write it, D is probably used many times. Okay, D is fine. D inside F cross divided by F cross square, right? So it's basically kind of a number. Such that the CD is the open curve, D times y square equals f of x has a local solution. With y not equal to 0, but no global solution. Okay, local solution really means the local solution in FV, right, square, because FV is a localization, but no global solution. So in other words, the Husser principle, we failed for this situation. So usually when you do defining equation, the best way to prove that no solution is modular P. If modular P you win, then you're done. Right? So in this case is that just says that you actually can, but actually conjecturally for 50% of such a D, this equation will not have a solution. I will tell you why it's 50%. Right? And this depends the analysis of error function computation. Oh yeah, everything defined field, total real field of F, yeah. And I just give you an example, and I will sketch a little bit of the proof. Example, of course, one example is A, the elliptic curve, right? You can do that. But that's a trivial example. I don't want to talk about it. So one example is a trivial example. If we take y square equals and AX6 plus beta X4 plus gamma X square plus beta, right? That's pretty fake. You know, this is just a hyperliter curve, not one elliptic curve. Right? Then you can, second example is more interesting, is Y square equals X, X minus 1, X minus alpha, X minus beta, X minus gamma. So this general hyperliter curve genus 2, but now I require that this alpha, beta, gamma has some relation. This relation is a very simple relation, is alpha plus beta, 1 minus alpha plus beta. So as long as your gamma can be written as this relation. So this is a two-dimensional family. So what is the condition put here? This exactly means that this curve C, this Jacobian C, the two-dimensional, has a modification by Z joined with square root 5. So that's basically the condition I put there. So in this case, if it is a modular, I have to give a little remark on modular. After these wires tell the machinery, basically to check a curve is a modular, you need to find a modular P representation, which is a modular. So in many cases, for example, if your field is totally ramified, split, when modular P, you go back to original situation. So if you're lucky enough, you have something to start with. And this, you start with, now we have much more, because after the proof of sales conjecture, we know that all reasonable modular P representations are modular. So I didn't check that it is absolutely true how much we know about this situation, but this is not the pretty effective situation. So this is a family. The simplest family in this one, of course, is a Y square equals X minus 1, X minus 4, X minus 5, X minus 7. Right. This is the family, and this one, I forget when alpha equals 4, beta equals 5, something like that, you know, or maybe the other way. So this is the one theorem. The second theorem is a for the CM situation. So let's see the YN equals FF, the degree of F, is a prime to n, is a super elliptic curve, and over a CM field E. Assume that there is a morphism. So this is a theorem, actually it's not really my theorem, the theorem of Tian, I'm assuming Tian and a diagonal. A diagonal is a faculty in Minnesota. This is a perfect combination. So one guy work on rhythmic geometry, the other guy work on analytic number theory. They combine together to prove something. In fact, the diagonal proved a very nice theorem about the twist by sigatomic character. He comes to my office every day, say, I prove a beautiful theorem. I want to find an application. I say, your theorem is useless. I cannot find any application. then he bothers me all the time. I say, why don't you just try and fail my curve? Then he tried it, and then he wants the help of what's the height, everything. Then I asked Tian to check with him. 1 month later, they proved that, the theorem, like this. It's very nice. It's published in the annals. So there is, assume there is a morphism F, C to A, such as that, with A, a CM, a billion variety, defined over define over, because of period of time, I guess this time, I don't know, maybe I can check something better. Define over F plus, E plus, right, for the real subfield of E. And the second thing, E contains, so there's the endomorphism Z of N, right, which gave the morphism C to C, mapped X to Y, goes to X, Z of N of Y. Well, zeta n usually is equal to 2 pi I divided by n. So in other words, this curve has a lot of symmetry, has endomorphism by root of unity. You want this root of unity actually comes from a morphism from A. In this situation, then something amazing. So then there are infinitely many D inside the same thing, and F plus cross of F E plus, sorry, E plus in the top, E plus cross, E plus cross to the nth power. Such that that is the CD D times the YN equals FX has a local solution. I mean, actually, I should have said has an abelian solution. But no rational solution. So that's the thing. And one example I want to say is a typical Fermi type equation. What? Yeah, C is this one. Yeah, so it's already zeta n there. So you have a morphism from C to A. You require that this F is equivariant under some morphism and A. So you may have a CM elliptic curve, CM abelian variety, but does not contain the morphism start with. So I just put out one condition there. So the example it is saying is that, well, you consider the YP plus XL equals delta, right? I mean, this does not look like a super elliptic curve, but I can do some transform, say P, L, all the primes. So you can show that easily. You can show that if this is a curve, W, then W can be covered by C. C could be a hyperelliptic curve. A superelliptic curve depends your L equals P or not. If L not equal P, you can pick a C as delta negative L negative P YLP equals XP 1 minus XL to the power. And if L equals P, then you will get delta the P YP equals XP 1 minus XP plus. So either way, you will get something. Or maybe this is a minus, because I want this P is prime to the number there. Maybe it's a minus. I forget. A minus or plus. Okay, so, plus. Because the P is other prime, then this leading term is cancelled. So this side has a degree P minus 1. So these are two type of equations. You can apply their theorem. The proof, after Gonzaga and Kolyvagin, in this general situation, the proof is very simple. because all the twists are curves. I mean, you can view twists of these curves as the original curve, but defined over different field, defined a quadratic field. So since the rank is vanishing, so you will have only torsion points to talk about it. So the other theorem will be, the proof theorem will just show that there's no torsion point, right? In this case, you can use the Northcott theorem, right? Because there's only finite many torsion points defined over a field with a bounded degree, right? So then you just find, if you have finite many torsion points, then there's only finite many. After certain points, there's no torsion points at all. So that's a proof. Okay, so this is the application to diophantine equations. So as I say, it's usual, the method is an error function method. So you only apply to very particular type of equations. You cannot do it for general equations. Shavarovich? Yes. For a local solution, you just check it by hand. Yeah. There's nothing, you don't need to do anything. Just go there, modulo P, find the final solution. It's just, once the modulo P of solutions, I just lift it. Yeah. I'm not sure. No. And the following my lecture can be very abstract for people who say I don't care about their cycles. I just give you something to think about it. The end of the lecture, I will. Oh, so this is a local condition?
Yeah, I know, but
how can I check?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is completely local. One thing is when, if you give a prime P there, yeah. When P is big, if the curve has good reduction, yeah. It's always a solution. Yeah. That's because of the vague conjecture. You know, the number of rational solutions is very small. And, I guess I have, let me try to see. The condition, for example, if you put a D whose power is bigger enough, you put some power there, I guess you automatically, I think I wrote something about this stuff. It's a congruent condition. Every place is a congruent condition. The local, let me try to say, the local solvability. Ability is a congruent condition. But what I can say is once this D is congruent to some alpha modulo big N, there's a guarantee of the local solution. So locally it looks like you have a periodic numbers. It's a periodic manifold. You want to find a rational solution. It's totally different flavor. Is analysis, right? Okay, so in the following, I want to on the rest of the lecture, I'm trying to tell you a totally different way to construct a rational point. The weird thing is that the whole process actually needed to go to the bigger cycles that come down. So the bottom line is the following. Suppose I have two elliptic curves, U1, U2. I reverse the order of my lecture. I write the last section first. So say let U2 modulate the curve. So then parameterize by by x mod of n, you always can find n. That's big enough to parameterize both. So you have a morphism like that. You have this x mod of n go to e1, go e2, this is pi1, pi2. We assume that the e1 is not isogenic to e2. Okay? So in a modular form case, they belong to some different word. So the construction is the following thing. Is that you take a pi1 inverse of 0, well, you get you take the pre-image of the one point here, but you pull back here, you get a bunch of points and a modular curve. And presumably, we don't know what the point is. I mean, it's a complicated point. Then you push it forward. You get a bunch of points there. Okay? Right? I mean, you pull back and then push it forward. Then, of course, this has a group law there. Right? So you can add them. So let the x to be the sum of these devices in E2, right? So the theorem is that actually there's nothing to do with zero. You can start with any point. You can for any point, it will get some point here. This is already weird enough. The reason is these two are not isogenies. That does not exist any correspondence by these first theorem of correspondence. There's no way systematically construct points here through there. So if I start at one point, I get one point there. So this point, the theorem I want to say is the following thing. The x, first thing is the theorem at the end, we said that this first of this x will be E2 of Q. Okay? It's a rational point. And actually nothing to do with your zero here. You start with any point. Second thing, this height of this x. Well, you will ask when is the point of non-vanishing. So now we assume that L prime an order of vanishing x equals 1, E2 is order, or maybe say it's epsilon fact. So epsilon of E2 is negative 1. In this situation, it's approximately by this everything. This is basically the conjecture of Gross and Kudela is end up with special value at 2 symmetric square of E1 tensor E2, sorry, I don't know, I mean, really mean the Galois representation, times L prime of 1 E2. We know, of course, it's together is a triple product L series. Take a derivative of this thing. So this method, compared with the singular points, in philosophy is that in Hilbert points, you twist your equation by an imaginary quadratic character. Here, you twist everything by symmetric square of another elliptic curve. And the weird thing that this construction is so simple, give you a rational point. Right? And for people in algebra geometry, this is an interesting phenomenon. The reason is, usually when you do algebra geometry, you want to study the morphism from one to other using correspondence. Here, we use correspondence, not a marginal rational equivalence. Because what you want in marginal rational equivalence, you got nothing. So rational equivalence, like, in other words, I mean, if you have arbitrary C, you go to E1, E2, if you have two different elliptic curve parameters about one curve, always simply say, start with, E1, E2, take any curve inside. This curve will contribute a rational point to both one of them. So the curve inside, the product of two curves, can contribute a rational point.
What is the subset of rational point you can cover this way when you want
to change it? I could not cover any new point other than a singular point. It's an older point, because by Kolyvagin theorem, it's one-dimensional. It's just use a different way to construct it.
And I guess the point is that the L prime over there, if zero, if the L prime, if there are Hecker points, then the L prime isn't
Yes.
Essentially,
essentially the same point.
If it has rank 2, and you wanted to get a new point, then the L prime means you're getting
zero. Yeah, that's right, that's right. So, what?
No, I mean, if you do a nice construction of that, it's not even did why it could not get real.
That's right. I mean, I found this in the really end of my paper. Suddenly I do some calculation. I say I will do Kudler, gross stuff. I will like the F1 equals F2, not equal F3. I put inside because my L function has this decomposition. Why not my cycle has some decomposition? Then I end up this thing. Okay. So this is Anderson. So now I tell you, how this thing come from. So I want to talk a little bit about the Bellings and Bloch conjecture. Bellings and so it's just a generalization of conjecture in the Bertelsmann-Dyer conjecture and the class number formula. The idea that it starts with any variety, X is a variety, projective. A smooth variety. Say over, doesn't matter, level over Q. And then, beside the rational points, curves, everything inside, the most of the thing, I mean, in arithmetic geometry, a lot of people study other invariants like a Chow group. Of co-dimension. I cycles on X. So it is a cycles, usual cycles, modular rational equivalence. And to study that, you have two different steps. You have the modular. The first thing you can do is study the cohomological class. So you study the CH of X. Goes to Qi of X, you take a best change, then you get Q of I. That's the one thing you can do. And you can check that this actually is a good thing. If the image will be invariant on the Galois group of Q bar of Q, right? Everything, for example, I can tensor Q or L there. Doesn't matter, I can get tensor Q error there. It's not a big deal for me. And of course, it's a conjecture of Tate. This actually is the subjective morphism. Cycle here. When I write this notation, really means algebraic cycle defined over Q. Yeah. Then you have a center, the kernel. That's right, zero here. Right? This kernel is very similar to the Jacobian we have. That's something we care about it. This one is also has a morphism, class morphism to HF1, the same group of Q inside HQI minus 1 of XQ bar QL is still I. Okay? So that's the morphism you got. And presumably, this thing map, this one, is also isomorphism. When I write on this one, this is not really a good definition of that. If you don't Q, I mean, this is also, this looks like there's a Kummer map. So this is a morphism, like intermediate Jacobian, analog intermediate Jacobian. So we have cycle intermediate Jacobian. This is the analytical version. The media. And it's also the conjecture that this one is also isomorphism. Well, the Taylor's conjecture makes a connection of this image of the cycle, homology class of cycles, so you can see that if you form the error function L, doesn't matter if you have S, H, I, that's the usual, the error function as we did define it by P1 minus Frobenius of P, P negative S, the HI, some invariant part, as usual, right? This is some error series for cohomology, HI. And so this is the first part, the tethered conjecture. We say that for I even, right? I mean, this is pick up the invariant part. So you can imagine that the poles odd S equals 2, I guess here is I, S, H, 2, I write them there, should be the rank, the cohomology rank. Let's write a name, write this as 5 per psi here, the image of per psi, rank, right, of a negative, because there's a pole there, I plus 1. Is that right? So then the balance and block conjecture. The balance and block conjecture, oh yeah. It's okay. I have to do some twist and make it another one. This twist is always complicated if I don't write anything. The balance and block conjecture, we are concerned in this part, right? So they basically say that this odd, now I really don't know where is S plus 1, or probably still S, S I plus 1, S, this 2i minus 1 appeared in that picture should be equal to rank of this child group of this x0 there, okay? It's a cohomology trivial cycles. So this is a general conjecture, and then it's very difficult to test this conjecture. I mean, due to many different reasons, we don't have good machinery to study the higher co-dimension cycles. So what the Gauss-Schoen cycle is that, well, we want to do it in a very concrete way. So the Gauss-Schoen cycle, it did it by construct a very concrete, almost naive way to construct cycles. And actually, before Gauss-Schoen, there is other people study the canonical cycles, Jacobians. The Teresa in Bellevue, that kind of thing I will talk a few weeks later. I will give a talk about pathological cycles and Jacobians of varieties. But Gauss-Schoen cycle is by this way. The reason they do that is because very close to the formulation of Hingham points. So it starts with a curve x of a q is a curve. Okay, not necessarily of q. I mean, x is a curve of anywhere. Projective smooth curve. Okay. So you pick up a basal point. And then later on we will relax the condition to let E to be a class instead of one point. There's many cases the curve does not have any point. Alright? Because we want study rational point. If you already know a rational point, we don't need to study anything. So we will, later on we will pick up this thing. So you can fit the triple power of X. Inside triple power of X, you have a diagonal, right? It's a cycle. CH2 of this thing. And what Gauss and Schoen do is take a modification. They define a modification cycle by the following method, by just modify the cycle such that it is a cohomology trivial. So this one is CH2X3 over 3 of 0 is modified from data. So it's fun to see that. Such an elementary construction. The construction is the following way. Delta E, I just use the set symbol. You have a main diagonal, there's no problem. Then minus all the partial diagonals. X, X, E. X, E, X. And, well, the everything, all the combination you can have, E, X, X. Then you plus other partial, because you minus too many, you'll get X, E, E. Then the plus E, X, E. Then plus E, E, X. Right? And then, of course, the people say, well, I have to add a minus a V, E, E. E is one point. You cannot do it anymore. And this is a cycle effect. Miraculously, this cycle is homologically trivial. So one lemma, that's the only thing I can prove in the blackboard, is homologically trivial. Right, so you need to say, what does it mean? Does it mean that for any alpha, a form, a smooth form, I don't know, well, this is because of Kernes' formula. Because the cohomology class, delta E will be in the H4, doesn't matter which cohomology theory, start with H4, right? X cross X cross X. By Kernes' formula, this will be the direct sum of Hi of X times Hj of X times Hk of X, I plus J plus K equals 4, right? So as the Hi of X is usually from 0, 1, 2, you add together the 4, so one of them will be 4, right? So then one of that is the 4. Once one of them is the 4, means that you have a whole class, like a point, right? So you check the triviality, what you're going to do, you can push your cycle to a surface to do that. Or in a dual way, your cohomology class, you want to integrate it as against a differential form, right? Your differential form, if you're against differential form, degree 4, at degree 2, then usually degree 2 forms come from two facts. So you kind of projection of delta E to any surface, X cross X is zero, then you're done. Because you see, this weird construction just guarantees that if you project to anywhere, it'll be vanishing. If you forget this X, for example, you have this diagonal there, you have XE there, they have this one here, this one here, this one, we cancel this one. Right? So you just get a cancellation. Any projection will cancel to each other. So this is the thing that Goldstone started miraculously, that this phenomenon already happened when 3. If you do 4, it's still trivial, but trivial in the larger sense. It is rationally trivial. You actually can construct a rational function, a cycle whose device is given its way, right? Another important thing which is done by Gross and Schoen is to extend this delta E to family, to stable family. So in this way, so what I mean is that suppose my X is not a curve, it's a base, right? Of a B. So this is a curve. So this is a fibration of surface. So some of them will be have a bad reduction, right? So in this case, what the Gross and Schoen did is that they find in this case, suppose this is a situation that, okay, so this X will be the family. This is the spec K, is a generic point here. So you have X here. Okay, this is a situation. Now you want to raise the third power. When you raise the third power, even original surface has good reduction, the regular surface. When it's a third power, you become singular, right? Because usually singularity. Then you can make a resolution of singularity. Goes here, so you get, this is a fourfold, right? Because this is already a curve. Plus five, a diameter, fourfold. So your delta E is a curve here. Right? But you take a stylistic closure will be a two cycle. The growth and the shown so find on extension I give a delta E, maybe say bar of a B, for example. Let me write it bar which has which is homological trivial, which is numerically trivial, sorry, numerically trivial. Vertically. So what do I mean? That your delta E will be a two cycle in a fourfold. Right? Vertically means that when you make an intersection with any vertical cycles, it becomes trivial. Right? And this is almost unique. And for us, it's not good enough. Sorry, I mean, this lecture has a height. I never noticed any height, but this is the only time I talk about a height. So, now I suppose, if this K is a complex number, of course, I mean, your cycle is homologically trivial. We have one more thing we can get, is that, so there is the green current. The current G inside on XQ of degree 2, okay, such that the DD bar of this current, of course, now is a degree 3. I want this current as a current equals exactly delta of the delta E, right? Because your homologically trivial. By harmonic analysis, you always can find such a current, right? And this current doesn't depend on the choice of anything. So in this way, if K is a number field, so this is the weird part of Arakelov theory. So in number field, so what you do is you get something called arithmetic cycle in Arakelov theory. Gila is gone. So this is a Y there to B. D is a spec of OK. So in Arakelov's philosophy, this curve is not compact. You have to compactify it by adding all the Archimedean plates. Right? You have add all the Archimedean plates, K in band to C. You can see in this way you have to add all these complex manifold, three dimensional. So your cycle of delta here, so you have to add this. This will be somehow, will be some arithmetic object, arithmetic cycle, arithmetic variety. So your cycle delta E will become even bigger one, delta E bar plus this green current. Okay, many green current. So this is a green current G sigma here. So So the G is all the collection, all the collections. So in this way, you get an arithmetic cycle. Once you get an arithmetic cycle, you can define a number. So you can define a number, delta E bar times delta E bar. This is a number you get. So this is a well-defined number. Okay. It's really a miracle stuff. I mean, they start with a curve, there's nothing there, finally tell you there's a number there. Right? So in the 20s, we had talked about this number, spent a lot of time. Now I introduce, so this is a number. This number is very important. So we'll talk about the growth and the Kudrow's conjecture. So now we take this x as x naught of n, or maybe it doesn't matter, or Schumacher curve, it's the same thing. The reason I do that, now this curve has many, as I said, this curve, the difference between modular curve and the usual curve is, modular curve has a lot of endomorphism, quotation mark endomorphism. This is something called Haeckel operators. So you have, if we start with three module form, x1, x2, the cut forms, or where 2, then this will give you, a Haeckel operator, three different Haeckel action, lambda 1, lambda 2, will give you, lambda 3, three different action from Haeckel algebra to a number. This is the Haeckel algebra. Remember in the beginning I talked about this cycle defined of a number field. So this is a CH of 2 of x of 0 of 3 we will have action by Haeckel operator, tensor Haeckel operator, right? Because this one acts on this, each one acts on one fact. You have three actions. Now you have three modular forms there, which will give you three characters, right? So you can decompose the delta E H to be delta F1 tensor F2, strictly speaking, should be lambda 1 times the lambda 2 lambda 3. After 2, after 3, so this is the component plus the something else. So this one, behavior, this is a lambda 1 eigenspace. Lambda 1, lambda 2, lambda 3 eigenspace. Well, you don't need to remember the exact. Anyway, if you give you three cut forms, you can write one piece of this thing. And after Gross and Kudrow compute the special value, prove the special value formula. Now we now have a more general situation. So they prove that, so this is a conjecture. Gross and Kudrow, as the analog of Gross Zagier formula, is that the height of that F1, F2, F3, maybe I'll write in a more fancy way, hat times F1, F2, F3 hat is equal to some constant C, that's easy, including the periods or whatever, times the derivative of at 2 of F1 times F2 times F3. Well, let me try to say this. In a case, assume that there is a sign associated with everything. Are we not going to define it? Because the next one, then you will have this formula. Okay? So that's basically the Kudrow formula. So now let's write down, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean, delta F1, F2, F3? In a geometric sense, that's a way to do that. If you have x0, n, you map to e1 cross e2 cross e3. So this will define a cycle, and it's a product of three elliptic curves. So this formula trying to explain this cycle. But if E1 equals E2, then this cycle inside will break down to some cycle corresponded by some point. Those points are exactly the one I computed in the beginning of the lecture. I said that, well, you actually, in this case, your Gaussian cycle is nothing else. Rational points combined with something else. So that's the situation we got. And we prove this case, right now the theorem is that we prove this in many cases when n is square free and on Shimura curves of arbitrary totally real field. And we wish to remove this condition or n is square free there. But that looks very, very hard. And okay, so that's my end of my lecture.